everybody have your Bible and you're ready to study today. Did you notice I'm a little more casual today? How many has noticed it's hot outside? Whew, man, it's just hot, isn't it? I mowed yesterday in my lawn, and I got a small lawn, but I couldn't keep my sunglasses on for wiping sweat. It's just pounding on, so it's hot out there. But it's cool in here, so I'm a little more casual today, if that's okay, and if it's not, get over it. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. And I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go back to life lessons from creation. So if you want to turn with me to Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter. This is something that it's almost a paradox, but for most of us, it's a necessary message, and then for some, it's kind of funny. And it's the part where Jesus or God does something a little different. You know, up to this point, up to chapter 2, He's just working, creating, and then all of a sudden, He's getting ready to do something different. And so let's look at it in chapter 2. It says, the heavens and the earth, Genesis 2, 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And that's a really important sentence. I'm glad He put that in there. They were finished. And remember what He said about the finished product when you look at verse 31 in chapter 1? God saw everything that He made, and indeed it was what? Very good. Very good. And so the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. And so, and then it goes into this, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His works which He had done. And so God rested in His state. I used to think, you know, or imagine that we'd never have to have rest in our glorified state. In other words, when we shuck this skin off and our spirit goes back to the Father, that we would never have to have rest. But evidently, we do need rest in heaven. And don't you enjoy rest? And that's what we're going to look at today. A life lesson is from the creation is rest. And most of us as Americans, we don't do that very well. So I thought it was necessary to spend a whole message on it. And then it says in verse 3, God blessed the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day. That's don't you find that unusual? He blessed a day. I think that's kind of amusing. God blessed the seventh day. I thought that's pretty cool. In other words, and if you read the word blessed, it's like adoration. It's a day of blessing. That's what today is. It's a day of blessing. You know, you come and it's different from your work routine. Hopefully you left your work and all your stresses outside. In our prayer meeting this morning, we prayed for you that no distraction would come and anything would try to hinder the word being preached and the singing and the ministry being done here today would be bound in the name of Jesus. And so we prayed over that kind of spiritual work. So you could come in and rest. So you could come in and change pace. I like it when we get to this point where we're just, you know, we come in and praise and worship, you know, and then they'll bring in some celebration music, and then they'll bring in some slower stuff. We can just rest in the Lord and, you know, just kind of, if you like to lift your hands, lift your hand or sit, however you praise, and just feel the presence of the Lord. You know, isn't that a good, that's a good time, a good ending of the week and a good beginning for a new week, isn't it, to come in and. And I noticed some of you, you know, got your shorts and flip-flops on today, and some of our band didn't even have no shoes on. Did you notice that today? I thought, I might need to try it. Just preach barefoot up here, you know. If it gets hotter, just look for no shoes, okay? But just everybody just relaxing in the way that they feel relaxed, you know, and resting the way they feel. But He blessed the day. He looked at the day and He put His blessing on it. And He sanctified it. He set it apart because He rested from all His works, which God did, He had created and made. And this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made, God made the earth and the heavens. And so First of all, I want you to notice when we talked about it, says he had finished his creation and it was very good. Here's a key thing on rest, and I think God has ordained rest, and so we need to get a little better at it. You know, we come in and we're tired. How many just woke up tired this morning? You know, you just wake up tired. And what it tells you and me that we're not obeying God's Word here. How many knows He has set apart a day and blessed that day so you and I could be like the, you know, you see the Energizer Bunny, you know, it's the same pink bunny, and I wonder how many sets of batteries they've used on the Energizer Bunny. But we're kind of like that. We have to recharge our batteries. And so God said, I set aside a day where you could plug in. You could just, you know, unplug from all your other activities and your little moving around like the Energizer Bunny and plug in to a source, to a blessed day that I have set aside and proclaimed it clean and holy, sanctified it. And the reason I think He blessed it and sanctified it is because He said we not only need physical rest, we need mental rest. I mean, knows that's really important to get mental rest. You ever had one of those weeks when you were just mentally drained? That's right, just mentally drained. And we have to recharge. And so He said, God said, I set aside a day just for that. If you just learn how to use it and recharge. I was listening to the radio this week, and they said, sleep deprivation is a big problem in the United States. People don't sleep well. And we spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on health issues because we don't sleep well. And then here's some good news. If you're 64 and over, 50% of the people over 64 have some kind of sleep disorder. Well, I have the remedy. It's red wine. For the stomach's sake. I'm just kidding. Somewhat. 64%. I found that amusing, don't you? If you're over 64, 50% over 64 have sleep disorder. And what it means is you can't rest well. You believe it? Yeah. And you think the older we get, the more we would learn how to rest. This is a day. I mean, He set a day and He set times that He said, I'm not only going to set it aside for you to rest, but I'm going to bless it and sanctify it. It's going to be a day, and hopefully, you know, you do that, you practice that somewhere during your day, that it's, you're unplugged and you're just simply resting. Here's something I heard on the radio this week, the station I listened to a lot. It was talking about the sleep disorder, and it said we've created in our society all of these gadgets, you know, the iPhone and email and all the stuff we've created that saves us time, but it wears us out mentally. And so we're getting less rest with all these gadgets that's supposed to save us a lot of time. I'll be honest with you, if I'm in my truck and I'm going somewhere and I forget my phone, I feel like I'm just vulnerable anymore. You feel that way? Just like, oh my God, I forgot my cell phone. I'm unplugged. And I do a lot of business going down the road. I don't text, but I do, you know, just talking on the phone. And so it's a great tool, but it is mentally draining. And that's like TV and all the channels they give us. One of the guys that was doing an internet report on rest and stuff, he said, you know, the older I get, and evidently he was a senior, he didn't give his age, but he said, the older I get, he said, finally I took out email out of my house and computers and no more TV, and he said, for the first time in years, my days have gotten longer. He says, wonderful. It's wonderful, he said. I thought, wow. That would be it. That would give you a lot of time, wouldn't it? If you had no TV and no internet, no iPhone or no phone. Can you imagine? Or if you didn't have an internet or if you just turned it off at 7 o'clock. Can you imagine the mental rest we could get if that was the case? Maybe we ought to just put it in our doctrine. If you come to prayer of faith, you have to shut everything off at 7 o'clock. Okay, we won't, because nobody said amen. I won't lose everybody, okay? I thought if I could just get a few, I'd keep a few and we'd start from there. But since nobody's going with me, forget it. That's a bad idea. That's how attached we are, isn't it, to our gadgets? You know, and not only we have a TV in our bedroom, so when we're laying down and resting, we can watch TV. And if that's not bad enough, we got one in the laundry room. If you're doing laundry, you can watch one in there too. And if you're a guest, we supply a TV for you in the guest room. We're hooked up, baby. So you can be like us and rest while you watch all this mindless stuff. My wife said this morning she watches. It used to be George Stephanopoulos Roundtable, is that what it's called? Whatever his little show is called. And now Jake Tapper, somebody's taking it over anyway. And she said, I'm not watching that anymore. It's the same old bad news. And they talk about the same stuff every week. And she shut it off this morning. And that's what it's talking about. Stuff like that where we watch and we're filled with information, but we're not getting a mental rest because we're not unplugging. And one man was saying it's kind of like a toy where it runs off batteries. You ever notice a toy when you first put the batteries in? You know? In a little while, it's like zee, 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 zee. And once it gets to that point, it's real quick to get to like zee, 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 you know, and whatever that little toy is. And he said, we're a lot like the little toys that run with batteries. Once they've reached a point and they're needing charge, it's hard to think straight. He said, you'll make more mistakes. It's harder to make good decisions. And then it leads to all kinds of sicknesses and illness. And it can lead to depression and all kinds of things. Because we're people that are wore out. We don't know when to go to bed, and then we have to get up early, and because we want to watch something, we want to do something. And God says, listen, I have made a day for you. I've made a time. And not only have I made a time, but I've blessed it and I sanctified it. I've cleaned it up. And I think that's what, when we read about where God came down in the cool of the day and walked with Adam and Eve, I think that's a part of that blessing day. I think that's a part of that sanctified day where he would just come down and he would walk with them in the cool of the day. And I thought, boy, he'd have trouble doing that in Oklahoma on these hot days, wouldn't it? When is it cool? But he'd come down and he'd walk with them in the cool of the day and they'd have fellowship together. And is there a time in your day where you sanctify it and you just walk with the Lord and it's you and Him and you feel that recharge? Is there a time in your day that you do that? Because that's an important part that God set up in His Word and sanctified it so we could have a recharge, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally as well, because we're with Him. How many knows when we're plugged into Him, things happen? Being plugged into Him is what changed my mind about people that I used to didn't like. When I was younger and I didn't like you, I just don't like you and I hope whatever happens to you. Now that isn't very sanctified, is it? But when I plugged into Jesus, I began to see that it's not that way. God said love them and bless them and pray for them and help them. And so now I've got a different view about people that rub me the wrong way. In fact, I have no enemies today because I've been plugged in and I spent time plugging into that source and it changed my emotional state and my mental state to say, now I don't hate anyone. I love everybody. Some of you are harder to love than others, but I still love you. Because I was plugged in. I rested and I found peace in that rest and found that time alone with God. And so that's the time that I was changed and getting rest. And you say, well, you know, is God really serious about all this rest? Look in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. How many knows the children of Israel had come out of bondage and for the first time they're out in the wilderness and they're headed to the promised land and he's given them rules to live by. How many knows the rules that God put in this book is all good for us? All of them's good for us. Moderation, you know, whatever. It's all in the book. And when He gives us something that we don't like, when He told us to love our enemies, it was all about us. It wasn't about our enemies because they're going to be whoever they are. But if you can love and get that kind of mentality in mind to love your enemies, then that's going to help you. That's going to bless you. And so everything really is about us. It's good stuff for us, just to for us in our living. So here He is, and He's given them all kinds of things they need to do and not do and different kind of commands. And all of a sudden, one of the members, it says in verse Numbers 15 and verse 32, it shows you how serious God is about resting. He says, "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found the man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day." Now, that doesn't seem like a great, huge offense, does it? I mean, but he's telling them, you know, you need to rest, you need to rest. And remember, they've been in slavery for hundreds of years, and now they're trying to change the mentality. I mean, notice, when you've been in the state for a long time, it's hard to change that old mentality. It's just hard, isn't it? You've grown up one way, and then you marry someone, and their family's grown up a different way. It's just hard. You know, you grow up in an affectionate, touchy, lovey family, huggy, you know, kissy, all that stuff. You know, there's some families like that, and yours like, good night, you know, and they go to bed. They're not, and then all of a sudden you get in this huggy, lovey, touchy family, and they're wanting to huggy, lovey, touchy you, and you're like, okay, I guess it's all right, I guess, you know. Some of you, you know, when you come to my church and I hug you as a man, you're like, whoa. A lot like the cowboys and all that, you know what I mean? But he said, give the brother, and it could be worse. He said, give the brother the holy kiss. I could give you a holy kiss when you come. So just be thankful. I'm just comfortable with a hug. But some of you, that's a different mindset. So they've been in that mindset for work 7 days a week for a long time. They've been in slavery, kind of like some of us here in America, some of the workaholics here that we have. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. That's one of my deals is I love to work, and so I'm on the workaholic side more than I am the other side, because I always like to be busy doing something. But you learn, as you get older, you need to unplug sometimes and do nothing. Go golfing, yeah, there you go. And it's a source, isn't it? It's a physical game somewhat, but it's a mental, well, for some of it, it's a mental relief. For some of us, you know, when you want to wrap your clubs around the tree, that's, how many knows that's not good mental rest? And finally, what I did when I golf, I thought, you know, why would I expect to golf a good game when I don't golf but just a few times a year? Be like saying, I'm going to run a marathon. Have you practiced? No, but I'm going to run that marathon. Well, good luck with all that. You know, you hadn't practiced. So anything you hadn't practiced. So if you're going to play something, but you have to get prepared for that and mentally prepared. Now you made me lose my train of thought. Where was I? You remember? Huh? Unplug. Is that all you got for me? I'm 55. So anyway, we're talking about habits and traditions and how you can unplug. And so let's look at it in verse 32. Now that while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. You say, well, he's gathering sticks. Isn't that a little traumatic? The guy's gathering sticks. But God has said, I've set aside this day. I've sanctified it. I've blessed it. And you need this new day. And he's doing a new thing with a group of people. How many knows when God begins to do a new thing with a group of people, he's very particular over what happens during that time period. Remember when the New Testament church came along and everybody's in a giving mood and, boy, they're just giving gifts, kind of like for the parking lot thing here, we're asking to give. And so it's caught on to meet needs and meet the church's needs and all. And so everybody would have. And so they're giving. And Ananias and Sapphira got caught up in that. And so they sold some property and they gave a portion to the church. And they said, we gave the whole thing. This is all the property brought. And Pete calls them in and asks them, and they said, oh, yeah, sure enough, this is all. And God struck them dead. Yeah, because he's doing a new thing. This is kind of like that. It's a new thing, and he's bringing them out of a slave mentality into this new promised land. And he's saying, you need to change your ways, and you need to rest. You're not slaves anymore. You're free now. And so stop acting like a slave. Some of us need to get a hold of that. You know, quit acting like a slave. Yesterday, have you ever had a day where stuff just kind of goes wrong? You know, for some reason, I don't know if it's infection in my eye or something. I put some antibiotic drops I had at home in there yesterday and this morning. But, you know, my eye kind of did that. Well, then we bought some flooring for a house I bought, and I brought it home to my house. I backed it in the garage, and I dented my truck on the side. Yeah. So don't loan me your car. Whatever I say, don't loan me your car. I backed up, and I thought I had a little room, but it just creased it. And then when I pulled up, it popped my hotel light off. Just I heard something pop, and I thought, what was that? And I walked around there, and my tail light's popped off. So now you go out and you look at my truck, and it's held on by duct tape. I fixed it. So, and I got more duct tape if you need some for your car. For some of you drive like me. And so anyway, I popped it off, and so I thought, Janice, I'm going to go get some gas and mow the lawn. And so I go down. It's really hot, you know, and I'm down there, and I put the grass thing in my big tank. I got a 5-gallon tank. So I thought, well, I'm going to pull it out and see how much gas is in it. So I let off the handle, and as I pulled it out, the little trigger that latches on there stayed, and the gas was going, and it just splattered all over me. And I'm going, you know, put it back in the thing. And here's my first thought was, this is just not my day. And it just wasn't real holy thoughts, you know what I mean? And then here's what struck me, and this is the next thing I said. Every day is my day. I'm a child of the King. So what, a little gas spill and I put a crinkle in my truck? Those are temporary things. Every day's my day. And I went home, I told Jana, every day, do you know every day's my day? I told her what I did, and I said, but every day's my day. I'm going to have a blessed day. She said, you go, honey, you go. I'm not a slave anymore. I'm a child of the King. And stuff happens. You know, we live in this system, in this planet, and we'll have a little spill, but it doesn't affect who I am in the kingdom. My name is still written in the book of life. God still loves me, and He's still blessing me. I got the lawn mowed without passing out. Hallelujah. I didn't dent the other side of my truck yet. Blessed. Slave mentality is what I'm talking about. Slave. And so here they are, and He's trying to get them out of that. And so when we look at this and don't understand why God would be so severe, I just want you to know before we get there. But He's trying to say, is rest important? This is how important rest is. Okay? And says so they put Him under guard, verse 34, because it had not been explained what should be done. They haven't even made the law on this yet, but they know it's wrong because He's out. And if you look up in verse 30, it talks about when God is giving rules, look what it says. But the person who does anything presumptuously or defiantly, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach to the Lord on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. So he's just given this command, and here this guy is out, and Bubba's out gathering wood on the Sabbath defiantly because he knows you're not supposed to be gathering wood today. This is the day that God has set aside and blessed it and called it clean and said, come in and rest physically and spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Come in and recharge. And this guy's violating it. And so it's not good. Verse 35, then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation. In other words, if he'd been caught and we're part of the group, you know, we say Olin's out there and he was gathering firewood, we all get to stone Olin tomorrow. I mean, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? Only thing worse than that would be if I was gathering, you stoning me. I mean, but Bynum, just put it in context where if it's one of your own, it's different, isn't it? If we all had to go out and gather a rock and stone one of our own, that would be tough, wouldn't it? That'd be tough. And then I can see them in their houses debating. Moses said, what? We've got to stone him? Well, do I have to go? Yeah, honey, you have to go too. Well, what about the kids? Do they have to go and they have to see all that? No, they don't have to see it. They have to get a rock and they have to go with us. We're all going. How many knows God's trying to make a point about rest? God is very serious about rest. And so it goes on and says, again, the Lord spoke saying, speak to the children of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations. Put blue threads in the tassels on the corners, and you shall have the tassel that you have. You may look upon it and remember the commandments of the Lord and do them. And do them. You may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. So they take him out and stone him. And this is all about the day of rest and this sanctified day that God said you need to rest. You need to rest. For some of us that like to exercise, you know, Jan and I love to walk, and so we get in a routine thinking we can't miss a day. And here's what I found, and I did a little research this week, and it talked about the same thing. There's times when your physical body, if you really enjoy like exercising or physical activity, there's times when you have to just shut it off and not do that. And if you do, you do it in a very light or moderate way. And you know why we have to do that? Because your body needs time to restore and recharge. There are times, and I've learned this over a period of time, but and probably you have too, that when you come in and you're lethargic and you feel like, you just wore out and tired, and you have to ask yourself, well, have I been sedentary? Have I been, or is this mental and emotional stress? What is it? Why do I feel the way I feel? Or has it been a really busy running day? You know, like I've been just running, going. We've been away from home. We do that a lot. Some weeks we won't be home much, and we're just on the run all day and come home. And so there's times when a walk, how many knows if you've sat all week or been, it's been one of those weeks where you hadn't had much activity, then maybe a good walk or a good run or whatever would do you good. But if your body is drained physically and mentally and you go out and try to do that, that's like trying to push the little toy with the bad battery. It's not going to work. Sometimes when you get to that point, the best thing you can do is take a nap, a long nap, maybe for a day or two. Now, I say that with hesitancy because some of you are masters at nap taking. You don't need another nap. Not, this is not for you. Don't say amen, hallelujah, okay? Some of you need to run a little more, walk a little more. You know what I'm saying? So, but we have to keep that in balance. And sometimes the best thing we can do is just simply sit down and rest. There's something else that I thought was kind of funny. Look with me in Proverbs. For some of you with children, you know, there's all kinds of things that he tells us about rest. And this is just a small portion of it. But in Proverbs 29, and for you that have children, and for you that will have children, here's just something you might just want to take and look at. Because this is not, God's not going to stone you for this, and He's not going to, but it's going to cost you. This is going to, if you don't take care of this, it's going to cost you, he says, dearly. You won't get rest. And I thought, boy, when I was doing a study, I thought, this is so true. If anything can stress a parent out, it's when their children are not right. You know what I mean? There's something wrong physically with them, or they're going through a stressful time, or whatever it is that they're going through. It can be, and this is just confirms that in Proverbs 29:17, it says to the parent, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight in your soul. Now, what he didn't put in there, don't correct your son, and it'll cost you a lot of rest. I've dealt with this so many times over the years. People come in, you know, and they have stuff going on with their kids, and most of the time it's when they're just, you know, 18, 19, 20, they're really grown, and they're having a difficult time with their kids. Maybe they're 30, you know, but they're having a difficult time with their grown children, and they'll and usually it's always there's chaos in the home, and the reason there's chaos in the home is because junior or daughter, whoever it is brought it into the home, and there's no rest when that happens. And God says, you know what, if you want to keep consistent with rest, you got to keep order in your home. So here's what I developed early when my kids were teenagers, early in our home. I was thinking about it one day, and I thought, you know, in our home, we all abide by this. If you come to my house and you want to live in my house, I don't care if you're 40 or 80 or, you know, however old you are. In our house, we honor the Sabbath and we keep it holy. It's the fourth commandment, and we go to church. So if you live here, you're going to church. My kids never had an option. If they came to live with me today, they wouldn't have an option. You say, well, that's kind of religious, isn't it? No, that's just saying, I'm in charge of my house, or responsible for my household, and so if you're in my household, we're going to do this. Here's another rule. We have respect for each other in my house. You're not going to raise your voice at me because I'm not going to raise my voice at you. And if I raise my voice and disrespect you, you can call me on it and say, here's according to the Bible, you just disrespected me. Here's another law. My son found out you cannot put pinups on the wall in my house. Bikinis, you know. When my son, I'll never forget one time, young teenage boy, and I go in his room, boy, there's all these beautiful women with bikinis on his wall, and I just go around taking them down, you know. Good job on that one, Lord, you know, taking them down. And I threw them in the fireplace. We had a fireplace going, that fire going that night, I threw them in there. And he come home, and I'll never forget, he says, what happened to all my pictures? I said, well, we don't put pictures like that on the wall because it promotes lust, and we have women in the house, and we're Christians, and so we don't put stuff like that on our walls in our house. Now, when you get a house, son, you can just wallpaper your whole house with pinups if you want to. But we don't do that in my house. I'm responsible. And I'll always tell them, and you know, God blesses our house. We believe in blessing. And the God can't bless stuff like that in our house. And I want to be blessed, and I want you to be blessed. You know, I try to put it in a way where they knew what, you know, cause I said, you know. That's not a good parenting phrase to use, cause I said. You know, if you're going to use something, say because we try to follow Scripture and you know, we want to be blessed. But that's one area that I see today that people have a lot of unrest because they don't correct their children. You have to correct your children. And I'm talking about from this age to whatever, because you can see little kids just a little bit, and they've just, there's no rest in the family. Honey, don't do that. Honey, don't do that. Honey, don't do that. Honey, don't do that. You know, just whip him or do something. You know, use your correction mode. Honey can't hear you. You're just like a barking dog. You know, you've just said it so many times, he's immune to you. That's the way some parents are. They're just immune. You know, kids come in and it's amazing to me. You're in a store. Daddy, daddy, mommy, 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 daddy, 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 mommy, mommy, mommy. And the parents are just walking along and they're not saying anything. I'm like, hey, he's talking to you. But they live with that because they don't respond and they live in that unrest. But, no, 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 mommy, mommy, daddy, 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 daddy. You know, they just live with that. You know, teach them there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. And the Bible says you can either do that or you can just go on with your life and live in unrest. But I'm trying to help some people here today because God said it's really important. I've sanctified this day and I've made it to where you're supposed to live in rest. And here's one of the things that's going to interrupt your rest. If you don't do this, you can live in turmoil, but you can't live in rest. Now, for parents, let me give you one other thing, then we'll get off this and go on. But for parents, what I found, and here's the hard part. You say, well, I don't want to kick them out. You know, say for instance, your grown kids come back to your house. I don't want to kick them out. And I never kicked my kids out either. I said, but if you want to live here, this is what you got to do. We do that, and if we don't do that, we got to leave too. I mean, these are biblical rules that's good for us, so we're going to abide by them. And so you don't kick them out. You just say, if you don't live by these rules, you're out. Mama don't live by these rules, she's out. They're good for all of us. They're biblical rules and commands from God that's going to bless our home and have and bring harmony and peace and everything we're looking for and everything we enjoy. And so we just all live by it. You know, your actions, whether you're living by it or not, that's what's going to determine whether you go or stay. We're not kicking anybody out. You know? And I admire, you know, I was talking to Helen this morning. One of her kids was, they're taking care of, you know, that's ill right now and going through a time, and they're letting her come and recoup there. I think that's wonderful what your kids feel and want to come to your house when they're, you know, that's the way they should be, isn't it? But at the same time, there has to be some godly rules and guidelines enforced or you're going to lose your rest. You're going to lose rest. And if you don't correct them when they need correction, I can just tell you they're going to be unrest. You won't get the rest you need. It just won't come. And here's the thing: if it's your house, you've just allowed it, and so that's why you have to deal with it. And when we don't sleep well, I've just written a few things down. I found more, but let me sleep deprivation. When you're not resting well, you're not sleeping. They call it a restoration type sleep. There's physical, and mental health impairments, the ability to think clearly. You're not 100% on your game. So in fact, they say if you're pretty much sleep deprived, you're running about 30% of your game. Can you imagine that? Making decisions that will affect other people and you running at 30%. It affects your immune system when you're not resting properly. Problem solving, you can't, you know, so have you ever felt overwhelmed by problems? It's probably because you're tired. And you hear people say, I need to sleep on it. That's a great phrase. Don't ever underestimate the power. Let me sleep on it. And really sleep on it. Get you some rest, think clearly, and then come back with what you're doing. It can cause depression, heart disease, hypertension, irritability. You know anybody that's kind of irritable? You might offer them a nap. Slow reaction times, slurred speech, tremors, and you know, it goes on. One of the studies I was doing said that during the World Cup, if you were in Europe, we were in Europe during the World Cup, oh my gosh, that's like the Super Bowl of Super Bowls in Europe. Everywhere you go, I mean, it didn't matter where we were on the ship, you're walking by and there's a little bar area over here, or a wherever they had a TV, the World Cup was on. You're out by the pool, the World Cup's on. You're in the gym, the World Cup's on. Wherever we went on the boat, if there's a TV, the World Cup was on. And what they found was there was a really high level of cases come in this area because, you know, they're up all hours of the night and thing. And he said it was amazing all the cases that went up in upset stomach, indigestion, blackouts, dehydration, sugar level shooting up, and it was all because of loss of sleep. Loss of sleep. See, when God said, I've ordained, I've set apart, I've sanctified a day for you to come and just have a good, clean, wholesome, holy day of rest. He said, I did it for you because you don't run properly without it. I did it for you. And so he gave us that case where he shows where a young man is, or a man is stoned to death because he's defiantly, he knows what he's supposed to be doing and he doesn't do it. Now, look with me in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we'll close with this. And I'm going to let you out early so you can go rest. Isn't that good of me? For some of you today, say, you know what, Pastor, this is me. I don't rest well. I'm not practicing it well. I don't rest well. And to rest well, and I would just like to encourage you, you know, think about the electronic things that are draining that we just can't turn off. Maybe to turn them off a little more. How many knows before you had them, the world went right on? I mean, it didn't stop because you didn't have a piece of information. You know, we can hear our phones, the little email buzz go off on our phones, and we'll get up and walk over a lot of times when we're tired just to see who emailed us. Not even like email, but it's just that need to know. And so if you need to, be just like I thought, I'm just going to start turning it off earlier, you know. Because if somebody dies, you'll call me, right, if you die? Or somebody from your family will call me, huh? And if it's a real emergency, you'll get through somehow. And if it's real emergency, I'll get through somehow. I'll tell you, you know. But other than that, we need to learn how to rest and just do something. Here's something before we read the last scripture. Here's something you can say, boy, when I do that, whatever that activity is, it's just like, you know, whether it's golf or whatever it is for you, when I do that activity, it's just like, that was good. Do that more. You know, as long as it's ethical and moral and all. Just do that more. God gave you an outlet, something that you just enjoy that brings mental and emotional and physical rest to your body, and something that you love and He's connected you somewhere. So practice that more. Whatever that is. For Jan and I, it's just usually taking a walk. And if we're real tired, we just take a slow walk and we walk and talk, and that's just therapy for us. Just therapy. So, but if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to practice this rest thing. I really need, I don't sleep well. I'm not 64 over. Maybe you are, but you don't rest well. And you don't, when you're resting, you don't really rest like a restorative rest. You don't get that. And so if that's you, I want to give you this scripture today. In Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor." And that word labor is fatigued. All of you that are fatigued. All of you that are worn out. And are heavy laden. You feel loaded. Today you just feel like you're carrying a huge load. So you feel fatigued and you feel loaded today. Just like you're just, you know, underneath this heavy load today. He said, "Come to me." Jesus said, "Come to me." And he says, "I will give you rest." And that word rest means refresh. I'll refresh you today. Come to me, you that are overworked and feeling overloaded, and I will give you refreshed time. I'll give you refreshment. I'll give you rest. I'll give you real rest. And then he says this, and how many knows when you're dealing with Jesus, he's not going to slap anything on you or make you do. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. He's humble. He said, "I'm humble and lowly of heart." He says, "But you need to take from me. Take my yoke. Take my yoke." In other words, we have to do, he's given the invitation, and then we do the initiating to come to him, find a place alone with you and Jesus Christ, and just let him know. Tell him how you feel, get in his presence, and just begin to unload and debrief and whatever you need to tell him, and then just begin to sit in his presence, lay in his presence, and begin to receive from him. Say, "Lord, this is my load, and this is what I'm fatigued about, and this," or maybe you don't even know, but you just go in his presence and begin to declare to him, "I need rest. I reach up for you, and I'm taking what you have promised me," and you begin just to rest in that. "Take from my yoke upon you and learn from me." And so just begin to listen. I've learned so much by just listening to the presence of God as I sat in His presence and just listening and being quiet. This morning, I wrote some stuff out in a totally different subject. I was just sitting there in my chair, and I always go and meditate before I come out here, and it was a different area, but it's an area I've been meditating on and praying about for the local church, and he just began to give me some things, and I just so restful, and I had just asked you guys to pray, and then that came probably not even an hour later, and I just began to jot them down for some things. It's just a blessing to me that I've been searching for, and I found it in a restful time. And what have you been searching for? What's been on your plate, and what's been heavy on your mind and heart, just to take time to sit and rest in the presence of God. Some of you young people need to learn how to do that. Because He'll talk to you if you just sit and ask Him. He'll transform you. He'll even be honest with you if you need attitude change and stuff. But you have to really listen, because you'll think, "Oh, that's probably for somebody else, sir." "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." And that's how you know it's Jesus. He comes in just a gentle, peaceful. He said, "And you will find rest." That word rest is recreation and intermission. Recreation. That's why we enjoy recreation, I think, because it's a part of the plan of God. It's something it's not productive, but it's fun. You know, whatever it is, if you like boating or golfing or whatever you like. It's just in God's. That's just as scriptural as anything you could do. Just go out and find some recreation that you want to do. I got really tickled at Janice. She was talking about Haley and what a blessing you've been up at the Carter, you know. And they're going to give you a dinner, a go away lunch or something. I said, "That kid hadn't worked long enough for a lunch." But she's such a sweetheart. And she said, I got so tickled when Haley's. She's going to. Were you going to Dublin, huh? London and Dublin for one of her classes, you know. So she's going to just doing summer work there for Jana. But what was really funny, I thought, when she said you wanted off like a day early or something so you could go on the little rafting thing. Here's a kid that's going to sacrifice a lot of work to go rafting. That's good stuff. Good for you. Good for you. Sacrifice a day here and there to go have a little fun. And recharge your batteries. You know, right now you can do that kind of stuff, you know, because you're still in daddy's pocket, right? But you know, do that. Even when you're not in daddy's pocket, do that. Do something that's fun. You don't have to be a work day every day. Do something that you like. Recreation and intermission. That's what that word rest means. I'll give you that. I think Jesus in heaven watches the Super Bowl. Probably drag. I think he likes the PBR, bull riding. I know he has to be watching because them boys should have been dead. All of them should have been dead by now. They're not. But I just think, you know, it's entertainment, it's recreation, whatever you like. Go do that. Go do that and unplug for a while. And make put that on your schedule. Jesus says, and if you need help with it, come to me and I will show you and I will give you genuine rest. That mental stress and emotion that you're experiencing right now, he said, you have not been ordained or commissioned to carry that around. Come and give it to me and find relief. I will give you rest. So if you're carrying it today, it's because you've chose to carry it or just didn't know, but now you know. So stop carrying that around. Take it to the throne and find your rest. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us and modeling to us how the God of the universe needed a rest day. And Lord, many of us, on many occasions in our life, we feel just stressed out. Mentally, physically, emotionally. And I pray today that you will begin to help us. Help us to listen to our bodies, because sometimes we just need rest. Sometimes we need to get up and exercise because we've had too much rest. And I pray that you will give us that kind of discernment. I pray over the mind and heart of every person in this building that you'll give us a new discernment on hearing from our body. What we need. What we don't need. How to treat it right, and so we can find rest and blessing, and we can run on a full charge most of the time, not 30%, or not waking up feeling drained, because that's not what you've ordained, that's not what you've commissioned us to do, and you've taught us how to rest, and you've given us means to rest, and you've given us your access to you, to the throne, to Jesus, so we could come to you and find rest, and we could plug into you and get recharged. And so help us to live like that. We don't want to live below our privileges anymore and live worn out and tired and stressed. And I ask today in Jesus' name that you'd revive us and help us to turn off things that need to be turned off during the evening. And to pick up new habits that will help us to really rest the way we should. And for those with physical ailments, Lord, that and they can't rest, I pray that you'll just give them a new heart and a new mind for their body, that they can adjust whatever needs to be adjusted, whether it's their diet or their sleeping habits or whatever it is. You're still speaking to your people. You said, my sheep hear my voice. And so I pray that you would just begin to talk to them and instruct them on what they need to do so that they can run on a full charge for their life and really enjoy every day. With a rested heart, a rested mind, a rested body. In Jesus' name, thank you for reminding us again. And help us to put rest on our schedule. And fun and recreation, intermission. Help us to do that. Guide us, Holy Spirit, is our desire. In Jesus' name. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed. If you're here today and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.